seems to be, hang on a minute.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wes Tuttle. That wonderful get in the mood to study God's Word. And I was starting to think we might sing a few carols, but we'll just save them all for the second class and just sing away. I had them sing through them Wednesday night, and somebody, we never sang that many songs in a year. But so, well, let's get ready for our study of the Word of God. If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. One of the most powerful passages, chapters in the Bible dealing with practical theology in regard to marriage. Sometimes people accuse me of not teaching too much practical theology. Well, you got to get up at 9:15 and be here. I'm as practical as we can get on marriage. So, and even then, I'm not hitting just every little thing. Like, there's a big discussion in regard to the word virgin in chapter 7. Well, what if a woman has remarried, or a woman isn't a virgin, and does it still apply to her, and all this kind of thing? So those are a lot of battles that people like to get involved in, but I just pass right over that. And so let's begin with the word of prayer. The purpose of this prayer is to test yourself. First of all, see if you're awake and not in bed. And then secondly, to see if you're in the flesh or in the power of the Spirit by faith. If you're not, then wake up and get into the power of the Spirit by faith. Let's pray. Now, Heavenly Father, marriage, individual relationships are so important to your plan. So important that at the very beginning in Genesis, the very first 3-4 chapters of Genesis, you lay down the marriage, the institution of marriage. This one is under great attack in our society today to destroy not only the concept of the family, but of marriage itself. It is so fundamental. And Satan knows this, and therefore has released a great attack on marriage in this country, not to mention family. So, Father, it is so important that we do understand your plan in regard to marriage. If we don't have our daily life in order, how can we witness for you? How can we be concerned about the things of Christ? How can we witness? How can we pray? How can we give effectively in all areas of our life if this very personal area of our life is in shambles? So, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to things you'd have us to see and understand in the most fundamental of institutions, that is, of marriage. So, Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, last week we left off. There are two key words in 1 Corinthians 7, 32 through 34, and that is to be concerned and please. To be concerned about, a man is to be concerned about his wife, a wife is to be concerned about her husband, so as to please them. And that we're to please the Lord in the same text. And there's just a lot of, this is one of the complications of life when pleasing the Lord is running into conflict with pleasing one's spouse, pleasing one's spouse in conflict with pleasing the Lord. Well, this is where you come down to management of time and your priorities in life. You cannot neglect your married spouse for the Lord. That is not honoring to the Lord. On the other hand, you cannot allow your spouse and your marriage to interfere with your being concerned and pleasing the Lord. So, when you're married, you have to balance all this out. That's why Paul is saying, I prefer you not marry, because then you won't have this conflict and this kind of trouble. But if you're going to marry, then you have to understand the priorities. And a husband is to be concerned about his wife and please her, and the wife is to be concerned about her husband and please him. And this becomes very important. And I don't have it in my notes, but I was working on the Wednesday night crucifixion. And there Jesus Christ is, hanging on the cross, dying for the sins of the world, and the two men, both of them, the criminals with him, both of them, decided that they wanted to mock him. And I thought, you know, he's doing them something. He was concerned about them and in a sense pleased them by taking care of the sin problem, and they wouldn't be pleased. You got to understand, some people cannot be pleased. And I want to bring that into our study probably next week or so when I have time to really work it out, because this just came to me Wednesday night while teaching. That here he was dying for these two criminals. Well, for the whole world, we know that, but for the two criminals. And what were they doing? They were mocking him. And so while he was pleasing them, they mocked him. You're not going to be able to please everyone. And you're not, and a lot of times, even in marriage, you will please your husband, you'll please your wife, and they will not recognize it as that. They will not accept it. They'll not be pleased by it. It's like the passage, just why I want to develop a whole study on it. This is why in one passage Paul says in Romans that be at peace with everyone to the degree that you can. Because not everyone's going to want peace. You may want peace with your next door neighbor, but they are so obstinate. They're not going to take it. They're going to find trouble in everything you do. They're not going to like it. I don't like your tree. You cut down a tree, I don't like it, the tree gone. You're not going to make some people happy. You're not going to please them. But in a personal relationship, you got to understand, even there, I mean, how much more personal can you get than dying for someone's sins and they're not pleased by it, they mock you. So in a relationship, you're not going to be able to please your husband every time or your wife every time. And don't expect it. It's like Christmas presents. Don't expect a thank you. If you get one, great. I think it's a parent's responsibility to teach the children to be thankful. And even if it's rote in law, you say thank you. Now they reach a point where, okay, now it's up to you. You're an adult now, or young adult, so it's you now make these decisions, but we've taught you that you should be thankful. But if someone isn't thankful, don't worry about it. I hope you don't give a gift to get thanks back. I hope you don't get a gift to, well, let's see now. Oh, Aunt Elsie only gave me $10 present last year, so I'm only going to give her a $9 present this year. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. And I'm sorry, my wife gets so upset with me when I bring Charles Shooks into anything. But he has a running thing with Charlie Brown's sister. And she'll be sitting there and she'll say, you know, Nancy, did she bring me anything? Did she send me a card? Like, throw her off the list. She sent me, throw her off the list. And Charlie Brown, you don't even know anyone named Elsie. Well, throw her off the list anyway. And but this is the way a lot of people are with these things. And you don't want to do that. You do not want to come to that, be that kind of a person. And you please as unto the Lord. And if it doesn't please them, that's between them and the Lord, not you and the Lord. That's the deal. We're going to take a look at that. And I'm going to develop a class on that and bring as many different passages as we can together. Because this is very important. You're to be concerned about your spouse and to please your spouse. But what if they will not be pleased? So what do you do? And what we most of the time do is we react. Well, you don't want to do that. Not in marriage, especially. With your next door neighbor, you're on your... No. And so let's get into our study now. We're dealing with to please. Now, just taking up where we left off last week, to please is a Greek word. It's a present. This should characterize your life. This is what we're dealing with here. This should characterize your life. It means to fit, to adapt, to please. Soften one's heart toward another. While being concerned is a constant activity of the mind, to please is a constant activity of behavior, overt activity. And, I thought about it, see? And I was going to do that. See, one of my big problems in my marriage is, well, I was going to take out the trash. Just give me a break. I'll do it. Maybe it'll be after the garbage man comes, but I'll get it out there. And that isn't going to work. It has to be action, activity. Okay? let's see, to please is a constant behavior, overt activity. This word moves from relationship to behavior. You have a relationship with the Lord by belief in Christ. So therefore, you want to be concerned about Him to please Him in your life. You have a relationship with someone by marriage. The moment you said, I do, you did it, and now you're in the relationship, and so you have to, thank you for laughing, nobody else did, Brian. You have to, you're in a relationship. Well, that relationship is going to demand a behavior, changes in your life. So behave a relationship prior to behavior pattern. From relationship with the Lord by faith to behavior because of that relationship. From relationship with the husband and wife by marriage to behavior because of that relationship. To please, the verb is a present tense, and this means an imperative mood, and it indicates this should be the behavior of your life. Every day, when you get up, when you wake up, every day, to please, be concerned about it, and to please, active function. Intentional, deliberate, continuous. The present tense is that continuous. Intentional, deliberate action to please someone. The intentional, deliberate, demands being concerned, and I'm going to do it, and it should be continuous action in your life. This is the action of marriage. To please someone means to accommodate yourself to pleasing them. Now, this kind of stuff is not what a lot of people like. A lot of people don't like this. I had fun at my barbershop this week. Young lady, her father, her grandfather founded Canyon Creek Baptist Church, and her father's a missionary and to the Dominican Republic, and they went there for 6 days. And she said, it was just terrible. And I said, why was it terrible? She said, well, I went to church one time, and I've missed going to church for 2 weeks now. And she said, the preacher preached for over an hour. And I said, well, I hate to tell you this, but every one of mine are at least an hour, try to be. And she said, oh, my. She said, and then the subject matter. Here we are at Christmas time. Here we are in Dominican Republic, and he preaches on how a woman, a wife, should submit to her husband in everything, and just browbeated it down. And then I reminded her, well, let me tell you something. The Bible talks about both are to please each other, be concerned about each other, and this type of thing. So this changes it. Adjustment in your life. To please them, to please people, you got to adjust your life. And this is the whole issue. And people need to be taught this that are single. If you don't want to adjust your life to pleasing someone, then don't marry. Do not marry. Or get into the Holy Spirit and change your perspective if that's the one that God has brought into your life. So it's a very contentious thing to get married, and people have to really give it some thought in regard to getting married. It demands time to know what will please them, and it demands time to please them. So you gotta give this time factor. This is why, again, we're talking about the structure of time. You cannot just keep doing 100 things. You only have, you know, the 24 hours in a day and 7 days a week. And you've only got so much time to please the Lord, so much time to please your spouse, and if you work, so much time is already taken at work, so much time is already taken at sleep. So you cannot get to do a lot of things you want. Well, I wanted to do this, I want to do that. Well, I'm sorry. And this is one of the wonderful things that parents have, the wonderful opportunity as their children grow. We're seeing this with our grandchildren. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I can't do that because of this. And so it's a wonderful time to sit down and say, hey, you're growing up now. You're going to have to learn priorities. And when you pick one, you got to decide which one is more important in your life. And so this is, you have to set up your priorities. Your priority should be your family. Your priority should be the Lord. And then if you have sports and this and this and this and this and this, then you fill it in. fit it into the time schedule. So it takes time. That's the whole point with this one. It takes time. It demands time, first of all, to know the person. And here's the kicker. We're not immutable. We change. I thought you liked red. Well, not anymore. I don't like it anymore. I thought you liked this kind of music. Nah, I listened to that in weeks. And this type of thing. We're not immutable. And this makes it more flexible and more dynamic and more fun. Say, well, I thought you did. Okay. People were changing. And what someone liked in their 20s, they're not necessarily going to like in their 30s. What they liked in their 30s, they're not going to like in their 40s. And so forth. We're changing. And if you're going to please someone, you have to be aware of that. They're changing. And things change in their life. They can't see as well. Can't hear as well. See? So these things demand that you adjust to these things. Not get mad about them. So we're dealing with learning the person you're going to please. What is going to please them? And, you know, one time you did like this kind of stay. Well, that's when I had all my teeth. And so I don't like that anymore. So people change. And you have to be aware of all of these subtle changes. See, I know practical theology. Not all just all about prophecy. So it's very important to know these things in order to think to please them. You have to know them. Now, let's take it to the grand place. Please the Lord. What pleases the Lord? Well, as long as I'm in church, doesn't matter what church, as long as I go to church. As long as I give, it doesn't matter where I give, it's just as long as I give. And these kind, yes, it does, people. It matters very much to the Lord whether you're in the power of the Spirit or the power of the flesh. And multitude of people do things in the flesh and they think they're pleasing God and doing what God wants. They're not even close. Not even close. It's a matter of being in the filling of the Spirit. That's what pleases the Lord. That's what He did. He walked in the power of the Spirit. He depended on the Holy Spirit throughout His life. And this is what's going to please Him. So you have to get to know the Lord. What will please the Lord? Well, I think this will please the Lord. Where'd you get that? Well, I just know that's what I would want to do if I were Him. No, you don't get to do that with God. You have to know Him. And to know Him, you have to know His Word. Because He's not revealed by the things in this world. God is, but not Jesus Christ. You have to live in the Word of God. That's why Peter says, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the knowledge of Jesus Christ is in the Word of God. More time you spend in the Word of God, the more you'll know Him. More time you spend with your husband and wife, the more you'll know them. So this is what we're dealing with in this respect. Okay. To please someone, the Lord or your spouse will intrude on your life. And people, this is important. Selfish people will not make a good spouse. Selfish people make very, very lousy Christians. They're Christians, but they make very lousy Christians. What is wrong with you? I went to church on Christmas and I went to church at Easter. What are you, some kind of fanatic? See? No, people, it is going to intrude on your life. I don't have time to go to Bible class on Wednesday night. I hardly have time to go on Sunday morning. And what do you want? And then you want me to pray, and then you want me to be in class, and then you want me to study the Bible, read the Bible on my own. Boy, that's just too much. See? But the same thing happens in marriage. I just don't have time to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't have time to do that. I've got to go out on the golf course. I've got to go take care of my boat. I got to take care of my guns and hunting. I've got to, and all of these are legitimate things. They're all legitimate. Except when they intrude on your marriage. Intrude on your Christian life, your spiritual life to the Lord. We're not talking sin here. I mean, don't get me off on that one. We're just talking about legitimate things that will intrude on your life. And if you don't want something to intrude on your life, don't marry. If you marry, then make a decision. It's going to intrude on my life. Make sure it's one that you want to intrude on your life, your money, your time, these kind of things. Do you want them to intrude on these things? What you do with your money? And this I can speak from experience. Before I was married, just get whatever I wanted. Just going, I didn't have to check with, I like this picture, I'm going to buy it. Now, do you like this picture? Or is it going to have to hang in my closet? See? So you have to, it's demanding and intrudes. And I'm using the word intrude because we're very, very self-oriented. It's all about me. We're self-centered. Let's admit that and understand that. So it's going to intrude. So be sure you understand these things about it. Because believe it or not, you will not always be in the filling of the Spirit like James Webb. Most of us are not always there. So when you're out of the Holy Spirit, you got to be careful when things start intruding on your life. You got to be very careful. Okay, so let's go to the next thing. To please, therefore, it became essential to decide who you're going to please. It becomes essential. Who are you going to please in life? You going to please the Lord? Going to please your spouse? Going to please yourself? And very dangerous, please somebody else. So you got to be very careful. But this is going to demand. Be careful. This comes from Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. For am I now seeking the favor of men? This is Paul speaking of his ministry. Am I now seeking the favor of men to please men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? There's our word. To please men. If I were still trying to please men, note the still. Because when he was a Pharisee, he was very much into trying to please men. And that's just for this, so they'll talk about how wonderful you are. It's amazing how people are that way. They're people pleasers, so that you'll think I'm wonderful. All right, am I here to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. People, that's very important for every pastor, every Christian to understand. If you're going to please God, you're going to please man. Because pleasing man, even your spouse, will often conflict with your pleasing the Lord. You got to be very careful with all of this. This is why it is so important that we become mature Christians, that we understand things in the Word of God, that we understand the priorities in life that are important. All right? Before one marries, they must decide if this is the person they want to spend their lives pleasing. And that's a good way to word it. You met this young lady you want to marry, because that's coming up in the next section of our study in chapter 7. Is this the one you want to spend your life pleasing? Think about it. It may be nice right now, but you're going to want to do this the rest of your life? And I'm talking to both men and women here. Is this the one you want to sacrifice, intrude upon your life, not do things you wanted to do in other areas, and just do these things with them? You've got to make up your mind what you want to do before the Lord. If you are too involved in your own life, don't marry. If your life is about your, you know, just to pick out non-sinful things, golf, hunting, work. Some people spend their life to work. There are people just spend their, I live to work. No, I work to live. But a lot of people, I live to work. I just love it. And I'm glad you got a job you love. But if you let it intrude on your relationship with the Lord, if you let it intrude in your marriage, then this is out of kilter for the plan of God. Not for your plan of life, but for the plan of God for your life. So this becomes so important as to what you do. If you are the kind that seeks to please everyone, either straighten out your thinking or do not marry. People, you can't please everyone and please your spouse. You can't please everyone and please the Lord. That's what Paul was saying in the Galatians 1 passage. Am I here to please man? I'm here to please the Lord. And not only in what I teach, but in what I do. How much time I devote to my ministry, how much time I devote to my tent making. This becomes very important. If you're the kind that seeks to please everyone, straighten out your thinking or don't marry. Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Finally, then, brethren. I always like that in Scripture where it says finally. And he's taught for four chapters and first verse in chapter 4. Finally, then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God. And if it's about you, don't marry. And if you are married, you got to be sure that you understand your relationship with the Lord. So this becomes very important. Okay, to please. Let's take up a few principles in regard to pleasing. We took up some in regard to being concerned. So let's balance that out with the pleasing, the next dimension. First of all, you have problems and things you got to do in regard to pleasing someone or to concern for someone. Got to think. Now let's take a look in pleasing. First of all, now I don't expect anyone to be able to read that. And I don't know how to make it bigger. But anyway, let me tell you what that says. To please, Boy, you're not going to get any customers out of these people. They can read this. I need to see. Make it a little smaller. Oh, well, I need to come to see it. I can't see it. Okay. To please someone depends on the one being pleased, not on the one pleasing. It's not about you. It's about the one you're pleasing. But I like this. Well, you're not getting it for yourself. You're getting it for them. This is important in a lot of Christmas gifts and just in life. Two, therefore, to please someone, you must invest in the time to get to know them. You have to know them. And when we're talking about human beings, you've got to spend time talking to them, being with them. With the Lord in His Word. Three, what will please them, not you? What is acceptable to them? You are pleasing them for their benefit, not yours, for their benefit. Christ died on a cross, bearing the judgment and sins of the world. And I'm going to talk about it in a little bit, that a lot of people don't know what they really need in life. A lot of people don't know they need to be forgiven of all sins by Jesus Christ's work on the cross. But the point in this one is that what will please them? What do they need? Christ saw what we needed was to have our sins taken care of on the cross, and we needed perfect righteousness. All right, I'll provide. I'll take care of their sins. I'll provide the way for that they could have righteousness. Okay, four, knowing the Lord so as to please the Lord. A, on the one hand, this is simple, for He never changes. We change all the time. This is the frustration of a lot of marriage. But I thought you did. But I thought you did. Well, I don't today. See? I thought you liked your toast this way. Well, I don't like that way today. Well, don't get mad at me. See? I'm just trying to fix the toast. Next time, I'll just burn it. See? No, that's the wrong reaction. Okay? So, on the one hand, this is simple because He never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What pleases the Lord yesterday pleases the Lord today. What pleases the Lord today will please Him tomorrow. And that's a wonderful, wonderful relationship, people. That's a wonderful person to have a relationship with, is the Lord. Yes. Absolutely. But He doesn't change. Be like a parent. You know, what do we expect out of a one-year-old, two-year-old, six-year-old, ten-year-old? And then after that, you can forget it. And But he hasn't changed. It's what He expects out of us has changed. Okay, very good. All right. B, on the other hand, he is not physically here. So on the one hand, it's very easy to please the Lord in the sense that he's immutable. He's not changeable. On the other hand, he is not physically here. So we have to abide in his word, continue to grow in the knowledge of Scripture, in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we might please him. So that's the relationship that we have with the Lord. He's not here. He is a person. He's alive. He's not here. He's absent from us. He's face to face with the Father, sitting next to the Father on the throne. So the only way we can know him is through his word. And then C, the Spirit of Christ will cause Jesus Christ to be in you. So that the Spirit of Christ is in you, he will lead you in what pleases the Lord. And let me tell you something, there's flexibility. There's flexibility. See, Paul thought, well, you know what, if I go everywhere, and if I go into Asia or something, that'll please the Lord. Holy Spirit said, no, I don't want you to go there. I'm not going to let you go there. Paul's idea was to move on out of Galatia, and so what happened? He got sick. And the sick turned into a blessing, that he stayed there an extra amount of time, and did a tremendous amount of work in being with them, that extra amount of time. So people, the thing about the Christian life, it is dynamic. It is, there are just certain things that are in order, but as far as putting this in a day in and day out basis, your relationship with Christ is dynamic. That means it's constantly changing. You have to constantly be alert. And people, if you haven't learned it, marriage is the same way. You've got to be constantly alert, for they're always changing. See? So this is in a relationship with the Lord and with one another. And then finally, four, knowing your spouse so as to please them, they and ourselves are constantly changing, which means we must constantly invest in the time to know them. You've got your spouse is constantly changing. And so this is one of the problems a lot of times that fathers have. If they're always working and they come home one day and their daughter wants to get married, you can't get married, you're still 10 years old. No, Dad, I've been growing up. Well, when did this happen? When did you start growing up? When did you get to look how you look? When did you, all these type of things? And they lost that contact with them. You don't want to do that. And you want to do that especially with the Lord, with your spouse, and then, of course, with children. So you have to know them, which means you have to spend time. Have to spend time in the Word of God. I just don't have that time. I do not have time to be in class even just three times a week. I do not have time to read this book every day. I do not have time. I do not have time. You're too busy. Your priorities are wrong. If nobody's told you, your priorities are wrong. And you've got to straighten out your priorities, your goals, and your objectives of whom you're going to please. You're going to please the Lord. You're going to please your spouse. Not others, not self. You're going to please the Lord, and then please your spouse. So this becomes so important in our plan of, in the plan of God. Now, let's take up some little principle, a little thought about the principle on pleasing. Yeah, that's what it says. Little thought on the... boy, I need to see you, Jim, bad. All right. Here's some little thought about principle on pleasing. So let's take a look at some things that most people don't think about in regard to pleasing. One, we know that pleasing is a response to a relationship. Pleasing is a response to a relationship. Now, I don't like to talk about myself too much up here, as you know, over the years. But when I was young, through high school and all the 20s, 30s, I knew whether or not I was really interested in being with a certain girl. Did I not mind spending the money? I didn't have a lot of money. I worked for my money. And I'm just not ready to spend $20 on this one anymore. Okay. So that let me know. That let me know. Time's over. Move on. See? So this is a very important principle, little thought about principle. We know that pleasing is a response to a relationship. And that's why you want to communicate with your spouse daily. That's why you want to communicate with the Lord through His Word and prayer daily. This is very important, little thought about in relationship. So it's a response to a relationship. People, let me just, I say something and I hope it doesn't become to where you don't pay attention to what I'm saying. Giving. Do you give out of pressure? Do you give because you want something back from God? Somebody's told you if you give a tenth or if you give so much, God will do, give it back to you, all this kind of stuff. Is that why you do these things? Is that your response to the relationship? That's pitiful. We ought to, listen, I love the Lord. I want to be a part of the spreading of the gospel. So we are responsible when we give. We're very much responsible. It's not just giving. It's giving as unto the Lord. So years ago someone asked, well, how did the church become so liberal? Because it was supported by Christians. They kept supporting it. They kept supporting a preacher that didn't teach the Word of God verse by verse. They kept supporting this. They kept supporting that. You have to be very careful. Oh, it just pleases me to give this money to this poor person, just to make the point. Well, is that pleasing to the Lord? Are you being led by the Holy Spirit in doing that? See? It pleases me. It pleases me every time I see the Salvation Army out ringing and all. I love that organization. I believe in what they do. But is that pleasing to the Lord? So I make sure before, as I walk by, I'm going in while I'm in the store. Is this what I want to do as unto you? So that gives me that time to meditate about it, think about it, and then come on my way out. So people, we're supposed to be good stewards with our money. Is the church that you go to and are supporting, are they teaching the gospel correctly? Are they teaching the Christian way of life, the filling of the Spirit correctly? Are they teaching the Word of God correctly? Then support it! But if they're not, you don't owe them a dime. Not a dime. And it's not honoring to the Lord to pull out money and keep giving to it. That is not honoring the Lord. So, we know that pleasing is a response to a relationship. Okay, two. But to please someone means to be in proper relationship. So you want to be in a proper relationship with the Lord. And what is that? What is a proper relationship with the Lord? Filling of the Holy Spirit. Growing in the knowledge of Christ and the Word of God. You find a church where the Word of God is taught verse by verse, correctly, truthfully, honestly. This is part of the whole process of a proper relationship. Not just a relationship. Not just any relationship. It has to be a proper relationship. One that's brought by the Lord. Your husband, your wife. Friends. Local church. To the Lord Himself. So, to please someone means to be in a proper relationship. See, what a lot of people do, now this, generally men are more guilty of this than women, but they just give. Not of their time. Not of their time. Not of love. Not all these other wonderful, just, well, I'll go buy, well, I'm buying you this and I'm buying you that, and that pleases them. And it makes them think they're doing okay. No, people, that is not doing okay. It's a proper relationship. And the same thing is definitely true of our relationship with the Lord. It has to be a proper relationship with the Lord, and the proper relationship with the Lord is one that is led by God the Holy Spirit and directed by the inspired Word of God. Okay, three. Gotta move on here. Three. This comes from Romans 8. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God. I don't care how much money you give. I don't care how much time you spend reading the Bible. I don't care how much time you spend singing, giving, praying, going to church, all these kind of things. If it's in the flesh, it doesn't please Him. And that's very difficult for a lot of people to understand. They look at this person as a sinful life. This person doesn't have a sinful life. Well, this person's pleasing God. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Let's take someone who has life is questionable. King David. There are a lot of Christians that would not want to be around King David at all. He's a man after God's own heart. Be careful, people. Be very careful. So this becomes very important. You cannot please him in the flesh. You've got to please him in the power of the Spirit. For even though you are a believer, even though you possess his perfect righteousness, and you do if you have believed in Christ, and you cannot lose that. I'm so amazed by people who are constantly wanting God to take away someone's salvation. Oh, they committed this horrible sin. Oh, man, they've lost their salvation. No, they haven't. I don't know what kind of view you have of God. Well, I'm going to give this person perfect righteousness. I'm going to give this person eternal life. I'm going to take it back. What kind of God is that? I used to say it's an Indian giver, but that's not politically correct anymore. But that's what you're doing. This is your view of God. God gives someone eternal life. God gives someone perfect righteousness. God gives someone the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But I'm taking it all back. If you don't please me, you don't do what I want. No, that's not God. He's not going to do that. But in our personal relationship with him, you have to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Not by praying, studying the Word, giving. To please God, we must be in proper relationship with him. And that is in the filling of the Holy Spirit by faith alone. That's by growing in the Word of God. People are satisfied with, well, I don't do any big sins, so I'm in proper relationship with God. Maybe you're not in any relationship with God. Sinlessness does not equal salvation. Sinlessness does not equal the Spirit-filled life. Sinlessness does not equal honesty, because no one is sinless. We all sin. Some are too arrogant to recognize their own mental attitude. Okay, point five. Let's take this principle over to marriage now. Even though you are in a relationship of marriage, does not mean that you are in a proper relationship so as to please them. Oh, you're married, all right. And you got the ring, and she's got the ring, or he's got the ring. But that does not mean you are in proper relationship. Let's just go to the throat on this one. A man is married, having an affair over here. He's not in proper relationship with this woman he's married to. Not by any means. And the woman he's having the relationship, she's being cheated. It's just everyone loses. You've got to be in a proper relationship. A man is married. He knows that flowers pleases his wife, but is having an affair, or is occupied with himself and what he wants to do. See? And not to be confused with what he has to do, like work, but what he wants to do. So he brings home a dozen roses, and he's just shocked she doesn't fall apart, and just, oh, you're so wonderful. See? No, you know, you're not in a proper relationship. Don't be shocked. Laura's not impressed when you give. Don't be shocked when the Lord is not pleased when you're at church. Don't be shocked when the Lord is not pleased when you do other things that you think are pleasing him. You've got to be in proper relationship. Proper relationship with him is in the power of God, the Holy Spirit. So this is the whole issue. Okay, let's close this study with some warnings. Some warnings. I did a long study some time ago on spiritual gifts, all you wanted to know and more. And one thing that I covered with each spiritual gift was a warning. And they do come with warning. Your spiritual gift may be giving. People start taking advantage of you. So you've got to be careful. Your spiritual gift is hospitality. People start taking advantage of you. So you've got to balance out all of these kinds of things. So let's take some warnings about being concerned and pleasing. All right, one. The principle is found in 1 Corinthians 7:28. Such will have trouble in this life. Such refers to marriage. Marriage comes with trouble, tribulation, and affliction. You know, well, I just don't get out of this marriage. I want a divorce. It didn't work. People, you're not going to find a marriage that is not going to be some trouble. The Word of God tells you that. Marriage means trouble. But don't be too alarmed. Being born means trouble. So just understand, you get into a relationship, it's going to be trouble. And so marriage comes with trouble, affliction, tribulation. Two, Greek word, to crush, to press down, to squeeze. That's the word trouble. It'll press down on your life. You marry someone, it will be trouble. There will be trouble. But you know what? Let's see if I have this here at home. So, what did Jesus Christ tell the disciples in John 16? In the world you will have tribulation, but do not worry, I have overcome the world. You're not going to get away from trouble in this world, I'm sorry. Paul tried it. He didn't have a big business, he didn't get married, and he didn't have children. I'm free of all of this stuff. God said, oh yeah, I'll just send a thorn to the flesh. See if you like this. People, you're not going to get away from it. So the best thing to learn is how to handle it as unto the Lord. All right, three. Everyone should know this going into marriage. Every man, every woman, when you marry, you will have added trouble, added affliction to your life. That would be my opening statement if I were teaching young people thinking about getting married. You're getting into trouble. I used to tell people, this is the end of your problems in life, the beginning end. This is what it is. You're not going to get away from it, so don't be alarmed by it. Yes? Everyone should know this going into marriage. Number two? Oh, the Greek word is the trouble, the word trouble, out of point one.
Okay, so it's not marriage.
No. Well, yeah, yes, it is, because that's the trouble he's talking about in 1 Corinthians 7. So you can't get around it that way. Boy, she tried to pull some slick Bible maneuvers on me. But in 1 Corinthians, that's what he's talking about, is marriage. So, let's see, we're at point three. Everyone should know this, going into marriage, every man, every woman, when you marry, you will have added trouble, added affliction to your life. Added. You've already got affliction if you're a Christian. You've already got tribulation if you're a Christian. Christ told us that in John 16. So you got it. Now you're adding more. See? But we still do it, don't we? Okay. Now, point four. But remember, there is trouble, tribulation, affliction in walking with the Lord. He will come after those who love the Lord, those who walk after the Lord. He's not only after the Jews, he's after any Christian who walks with the Lord. You want the world to leave you alone, don't walk with the Lord. Okay? All right, let's go. Point five. In being concerned about your husband or wife, remember at all times that each of you possess an inherited sin nature. You have one, your spouse has one. That may come as a surprise to some, that may be obvious to others. But nevertheless, your spouse and you have an inherited sin nature, which is occupied with self. That's the whole concept of the self nature. It's occupied with self. With self. I don't know about you. I believed in Jesus Christ. It was totally selfish. I didn't want to burn in hell. Our preacher said that. I was 7 years old. Not for me. Didn't want that. Is there any way I can get out of this? It was totally self-oriented. And I learned more about the Lord and the whole thing and started growing in His Word. A lot of things changed. But what you have to know in marriage is that we have an inherited sin nature, and it is occupied with self. This is the struggle in living with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, fighting the inherited sin nature, living a life with the Lord, and in living a life with a husband and wife. You have a sin nature. Galatians deals with this, that the sin nature is always fighting the Holy Spirit. The desires of the Holy Spirit, the desires of the flesh nature. Boom. It isn't bad tacos. It's boom. You have inside of you the sin nature. You have inside of you the Holy Spirit. And they're constantly at conflict with one another. All right, and finally we come to point six. You have to be thoughtful of the angelic conflict, of the plan of God, and each other's spiritual conflict. You have to constantly be aware that your husband is in spiritual conflict, not involved you. Your wife is involved in a spiritual conflict, not involved in you. It's their own personal relationship with the Lord above all the other problems they have. I believe the angelic conflict centers on Christians. That's why people are so amazed that over 50% of Christian marriages end in divorce. I'm amazed that 48% of them make it and stay married. When you understand the invisible warfare, He would love nothing better than break up two born-again believers married to one another. That's a trophy in His hat as far as He's concerned. We have a battle. You have to be aware that you are in a spiritual conflict, that your spouse is in a spiritual conflict. And rather than be fighting each other, support each other. My favorite example here is a boxer in a boxing ring. He boxes out on the mat, the bell rings, he goes over to his corner, and they start beating on him. I think I'll just go sit over there in that corner where there is nobody. See? Your husband and your wife are in your corner. And that's where you're supposed to get a stool to sit on and wash down and your mouthpiece clean and all of that and told you're winning. You know you're not, but you're told you're winning. All these wonderful things that happens to a boxer. Well, people, we're in a warfare. We need to have a corner where we can go and get support. And that's the one person you're married to. There are millions and millions of people on earth, but you got one person God has designed for you, to support you, love you, encourage you in the spiritual warfare. This is what the marriage conflict is about as far as our life is concerned. So we'll resume this next Sunday morning and just continue through. You have any questions? Any questions that you want to ask? Anything? Well, if you don't want to ask them now, write me an anonymous letter or something, and write me an anonymous email, because I wouldn't know how to go back and find out where it came from. So let's close in a word of prayer and get ready for the study of the second and third stories of Christmas in our next lesson. Father, we thank You for marriage. Adam would have been and stayed so lonely had You not brought the woman to him. Sometimes in our arrogance we think, I'd be better off. Adam would not have been better off. This is Your design, marriage. It's for our comfort, our joy. It's for our journey through life, to have someone who cares for us, loves us, cares about our relationship with You, cares about the spiritual warfare that we're all in. So Father, pray You'll take the things we've seen this morning, let it first of all settle into our souls, into our brain, into our thinking, and then be exemplified in our lives. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.